What's up, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. I am your host today, Imran Khan, and joining me is the one, the only Kinda Funny host you do not have to download and install, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Yo, what's up? It's me, Imran. What a dynamite morning we had to start off with. We got the Google Stadia Connect, and let me tell you, if there's a winner to the summer of gaming, oh man. It's not Stadia.
I was watching you guys go along with it, partly because I forgot that existed. I was here for the show. It's like, what? Mm. Why is no one calling you? It's weird. I loaded up Twitch, like, oh, they're doing that thing. Yeah. And you guys could not have been less enthused about it.
Yeah, and I hate being negative. Like, I hate being negative about things because I feel like there's no reason to be a downer by default. Mm-hmm. That said, when it comes to Google Stadia, I don't know, man. They're just failing on so many levels that I don't understand how. Like, I don't understand how you come out and put out a product and have it consistently disappoint in the way that it keeps disappointing.
We'll talk about a little bit about Google Stadia later because it is one of our stories today. But stories today also include Ghost of Tsushima's review roundup, the final tally of our Ubisoft forward predictions, Deadly Premonition is getting a scene rewritten, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m., live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listen later on podcast services around the glow by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members are above get the show ad, or bronze members above get to write in, and silver members are above get the show ad free, along with the exclusive daily post show. All right, so we got a little bit of housekeeping first. kindafunny.com/store popping. It is,
yes, poppin'. It's popping. So I wrote the housekeeping, and I wrote it specifically for me to do it, and so it might be vague in the sense that I just wrote kindafunny.com/store is popping. But
take the fuck,
you should go to
blessing.
Yeah, you should go to kindafunny.com/store. We of course got merch. Kevin's showing it if you're watching the video version. Is everything broken? Oh yeah, you got like the Kinda Funny podcast.
The framing's all wrong. I don't understand. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, Kevin, I just want to take a tour through the store real quick. I'm trying to full screen you on my screen so I can actually see it better. But yeah, we got the Kinda Funny Pride shirt. We got the PSLU XOXO shirt. We got the Nitro Rifle and the other words there that are too pixelated on my screen to read. Can you scroll down a bit? I want to see what else we got in the store for people to check out. Oh yeah, we got a hoodie. We got the beanie. We got the jug, the glass jug. We got the hype hat. We got a whole bunch of stuff on the Kinda Funny store, kindafunny.com/store.
Wait, hold on.
It's stuff that's discounted too.
You know that's not a jar, right? A jug, right? It's a mug.
What's it called? Mug. Thank you. I don't know why I called it a jug. I legit, in my mind, I was like, there's a word for this that's not jug, but I'm just going to say jug because it's the thing that's coming to mind. And we also got some discounted merch too. And so check out kindafunny.com/store for all your Kinda Funny merch.
$6. Needs.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's just
$6 for that Kinda Funny San Francisco shirt.
Thin people, now's your moment to shine.
Now's your moment to shine. Finally, a thing for me to shine with. So go there. Of course, our Ghost of Tsushima review is live as of this morning, youtube.com/kindafunnygames and the Gamescast podcast feed. It's spoiler free, so watch it right away. And then later today on PSLU XOXO, you should write in with your questions because me and Greg will be doing a Q&A regarding Ghost of Tsushima. Spoiler free, we're just going to be answering all of your Ghost of Tsushima questions, talking about our thoughts, impressions, furthering what we talked about on the Gamescast. So write in to that. Then, of course, thank you to our Patreon producers, Mom and Muhammad and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by youtube.com/kindafunnygames, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, Imran's Roper Report.
No, he's gone.
He's gone? Oh, he is gone. It's time for some news. We have 5 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Where did he go? He just disappeared?
I don't know. You go into the infinite, though. Here, let me switch my camera on while he joins.
All right, well,
maybe?
Story number one, we have a ghost. Is he gone forever?
I don't know. I'm calling him now. There he is. He's back. He's back.
He's back.
He's back on my phone.
Oh, he's back,
he's
on,
back
his
on his phone. What happened? Internet?
Your computer crashed?
Like, literally a blue screen.
Oh no.
That's wild. Did it overheat? It probably overheated.
Can you turn your phone sideways?
There. So far, this is the most fascinating Games Daily.
It hasn't. It didn't work. I thought it would. It didn't work.
All right, Imran, figure out your computer situation. I'm going to do story number one with Kevin along Good my thing. Side because Kevin, of course, has played Ghost of Tsushima, right?
Oh, man, I love it.
And you love it. Kevin, let's get into the reviews. On Metacritic, Ghost of Tsushima has an 84 currently. IGN, Mitchell Saltzman, gave it a 9 and says, Ghost of Tsushima is an enormous and densely packed samurai adventure that often left me completely awestruck with both its visual spectacle and excellent combat. GameSpot, Edmund Tran, gave it a 7 and says, the game hits a lot of fantastic cinematic highs, and those ultimately lift it above the trappings of its familiar open-world quest design and all the innate weaknesses that come with it. But those imperfections and dull edges are definitely still there. US gamer Mike Williams gave it a 4 out of 5 and says, Ghost of Tsushima isn't the most innovative way to end a generation, but it is a fun one. And then Game Informer Matt Miller gave it a 9.5 and says, this is a game that nails the aesthetic it's shooting for, firmly establishing itself as the medium's defining samurai saga. Kevin, reviews have kind of not been all over the place because they've generally been very positive, but I'd say they lie between that 7 to 9 scale.
I'm not seeing any 10s, and that's really... I'm blown away.
You're blown away that there's no 10s.
Yeah. If I had to give this game a score, it'd be a solid 10. Yep.
Really? Oh, you love Imran's it that much? Yeah. You have been saying Imran is back. Imran,
hi, yes. Maybe. Hopefully.
I can hear you. You're very light. You're very lit up.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go.
Good.
There we go.
Yeah. Is this one cursed? Did we do so? Is Google getting revenge on us?
I mean, they saw our state reaction and they're like, fuck them. We're not doing Google to do any of this, so I can't imagine. You know.
All right. Yeah. Hi.
Hey, man.
Bless you.
Yeah. So, we just went through all the different scores and all the different write ups. And Kevin was saying actually, and I'm curious about where Kevin's at with this, because Kevin, you say that this is your game of the year, right?
Yeah, I'd have to say that so far. Now, granted, I didn't play that Final Fantasy game everyone was talking about. I heard good things. I'm gonna play it eventually. I haven't played The Last of Us either. So, but I haven't played Last of Us 1, so that's a lot of homework.
This is a Kevin-ass game.
It is indeed. I don't know what I'm allowed, we can just say anything now, or?
Yeah, you can say whatever. I mean, just don't spoil it, but you can say anything.
Right, all right. So, this game felt like the best Assassin's Creed I've played. Mm-hmm. And I really like Assassin's Creed, and, I'm shocked that there's no 10 out of 10s in this little roundup you pulled over here. And it hurts my feelings, frankly.
I think for me, where the review scores kind of net out is kind of what I expected, especially given that for me, when I first started the game, I did not like it. I didn't think I was going to like it until I got a couple hours in, and then it started to grow on me. And then by the time I got to the end of the game, I was like, oh, yeah, I absolutely adore this thing. But for all the reviews I've read, for all of the faults that I've seen pointed out, for the most part, I agree with them, and that stuff kind of comes in ranges in terms of how much it's going to affect my own experience. But it is very much an open world game. It is very much in you're going through, you're clearing out the map, you're essentially checking off a checklist. You are going through the rounds. Combat isn't perfect, story isn't perfect by any means, but it is a really, really good time. Imran, how do you react to the reviews?
I'm not shocked by what people are saying. Even though we I think came on the higher end of the scale on that part, I think what people are saying, the complaints they have about it being kind of unambitious, are true. It is a mostly by the numbers video game, open world video game that takes a lot of stuff from Assassin's Creed 2, from Witcher 3, from Breath of the Wild, Horizon. Even though I imagine those changes were last minute, but those kind of things were very obviously inspirations, but it doesn't hit those same highs. So I think people expecting it to be I saw people on Era saying Goat of Tsushima today. It's like, it's not going to be that game. It's not going to be one of the greatest of all time, but it's going to be a very good, enjoyable game.
Yes. Yeah. And that I agree with. I feel like in a certain universe where this game came out last year, it would have maybe been in the conversation for Game of the Year, because I put this game above many games that were in my top 10 last year. Like, I put this game above Jedi Fallen Order for me. I put this game above even, like, I'm trying to think of the other Game of the Year contenders. I think the main thing this game would have came in battle with last year would have been Sekiro coming out, because I know a lot of people would have fought for Sekiro way above this game, because I think that game, in terms of its combat, in terms of, like, what it's doing with that setting, I feel like is more unique and more interesting. That said, like, this game is such good comfort food, I think. And that's, like, that's why I think I really adore it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same place. Like, if this game came out in January, I think people would be like, oh, hell yeah, this is going to be a hell of a year for video games. And even in March, if it came out the same time around Animal Crossing, like, it exchanged places with the original Last of Us date, then I think people would be like, okay, yeah, I'm really into this idea. I like this is a I have a lot of time to play this kind of game. Right now, it is a little busy. It's coming at the same day as Paper Mario came out a month after Last of Us. Like, other people are, they have other concerns other than just playing, sitting around and playing a game. But it is the perfect podcast game, in my opinion, of, like, I'm just going to put this on, do a couple of side quests. I really don't need to hear the sounds of this all that much, but it is a good game that you don't have to pay that much attention to. And I think that everything doesn't need to be, like, a masterpiece game of the year quality game. And this isn't quite that. Mm-hmm. It's close. It has the budget for one, but it's not quite there. Even though, like, for the Kevin Coelhos of the world, this is the top of the top.
Exactly. Now, Kevin, can I ask, what is showing to Twitch right now? Because I'm looking at the
Yeah, don't worry
screen.
About that. I'm trying to fix what's wrong, what keeps readjusting. So you just handle your thing, man.
Okay. But they can only see us, right?
Yeah, man. I tell you, don't worry about it. You keep worrying about it, though.
I'm just trying to make sure.
No, I got you. Right. Don't worry, man.
And Ron, I'm handing the keys back to you for you to drive the ship.
All right. Even though we're going to a part now where, like, you actually put this in the dock first.
Yeah, but maybe I should drive this one, actually, because I'm the one who put this one together.
It's interesting, because this is the first time I ever recall that a reader mail has been an actual story.
Yes. So, report. Story number two, right? Last time we hosted together, Imran, I made a call to the nanobiologist. I told him to keep track of the predictions we were making regarding Ubisoft Forward. A nanobiologist stepped up to the task, and nanobiologist came through. And so now we have the Blessing versus Imran Ubisoft Forward prediction results. Nanobiologist writes in and says, "Hi, Blessing Imran. Today I have here in my digital hand the results of the Ubisoft Forward predictions. These are based solely on what was shown during the main event. Just making this distinction because I didn't watch the pre-show, and apparently some stuff was shown off during it. So without further ado, the results. Before Blessing's list, Imran asked if, and I guess, yeah, at this point, we're going point for point. And so, again, this is all up to the nanobiologist. He's the referee. He's the one who's determining who gets points here. And these are all me versus Imran on our predictions for Ubisoft Forward. Before Blessing's list, Imran asked if Ubisoft would acknowledge the abuse and internal issues that happened. This is what Blessing said. Actually, I'm going to phrase it like this, right? Blessing said it will be mentioned passively, and they will state steps to remain inclusive. Imran said they will make a non-committal / vague response. Here's Nano's note. They posted a vague tweet that basically said the presentation was locked and not really committing to anything besides saying change is happening. While they couldn't add a 30-second bumper to the start of the showcase with a quick thing from Eve saying exactly what was tweeted, I don't know, but I'm giving Imran the point here. Yeah. Current score, Blessing 0, and Imran 1.
The vague tweet is like, when you go back and read it, like, it does. If you had no idea what it was about, you would not know any better after you read that tweet of being like, "Hey, some things are happening. We're not talking about it here."
Yeah.
But rest assured, other things. And it's like, Ubisoft, you can do better than that.
So to get into the list that I presented, I asked, "Will we see a new Far Cry?" Both of us said yes. Nano's note, oh boy, we got ourselves a new Far Cry game. And Giancarlo Esposito looks like he fits right at home. How does Ubisoft do such a great job finding their villains that seem perfect for the roles? And then he also says, also thanks to leakers for spoiling this great surprise. So current score is Blessing 1, Imran 2.
It's also not leakers. It was like PSN whatever, putting in the back end. It's like, here's just Far Cry. Here's all the things you need to know about Far Cry 6.
Yeah. No, yeah, that thing was leaking all over the place. And, like, at this point, you don't even need leakers for Ubisoft. Like, the system will do it itself.
Yeah.
Next up, Watch Dogs Legion for 2020. Blessing said, no, it won't come out around Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It's their spring 2020. It's their spring 2021 game. Then Imran said, yes, it's for fall and is the smart delivery game. Nano's, nope, I think Imran is cheating here, but he got it right on the money. Watch Dogs Legion is their October game, 1 month before Valhalla, and supports smart delivery. That means current score is Blessing 1, Imran 3.
For the record, I was not cheating. I knew about what was going to be there, but after the actual like show. Or actually,
okay.
Games
day. We made our predictions.
Yeah. Okay.
Next up, will Beyond Good and Evil 2 make an appearance? Blessing said, this will be held until next year. There may be another CG trailer. Imran says, it has to make an appearance. They'll show some gameplay on next gen and maybe a CG trailer. Nano's note. Never mind, Imran's not cheating. Blessing, your vaporware theory may be correct unless they decide to show it off during their next UB Forward event. Current score, Blessing 2, Imran 3.
I still think they should have shown it. Like, granted, that wasn't the show they were making, but maybe that should have been the show they were making of here's some interesting things that are here's some good updates on some big games.
How do you feel about the whole multiple Ubisoft Forwards happening this year?
I think it's a smart idea in that everyone's going the Nintendo Direct approach this year of like, yeah, we'll have an E3 show, but also we'll have other shows throughout the year, so not everyone just focused on one thing. I think if you're going to do that, though, your first show needs to be kind of a barn burner, and Ubisoft didn't do that. They should have had this show, but had one or two like announcements, so people have a better idea what the next thing is. And so I don't know what they're going to show next time. Is like, is it going to be just more announcements on like announced games, or is it going to be like an actual major Nintendo Direct style thing, or are those going to be like things announced elsewhere? I don't know. After this show, I still don't know what Ubisoft Forward is, and that's I think their overall problem with like what they've shown.
Yeah, I agree. Like this last Ubisoft Forward had their big three games in Watch Dogs, Far Cry, and Assassin's Creed, which makes me think like, all right, is the next one going to be just Gods and Monsters and more Beyond Good and Evil and Rainbow Six Quarantine and Breakpoint and updates on all your other games? Or are you going to revisit some of these big games, or is it going to have an equal caliber of announcements as this one, which is very hard to imagine? Yeah. And so my big thing is I wish they told us before. Like, I wish they announced Ubisoft Forward and let us know that there are multiple of these events happening throughout the year, as opposed to us getting toward the end of this one and then them saying, oh, by the way, there's another one of these coming up. Because I feel like for me personally, I wasn't able to set my expectations for this one event accurately because, you know, we didn't know. And so I was going into it like, all right, cool, we'll see more Gods and Monsters. All right, cool, we'll see updates on these other games. And now I understand why. Now I understand it's because you have another event coming. But I wish y'all told me that beforehand.
Yeah, I was out on Twitter trying to like tamp down expectations. Like, hey, don't expect too much of Ubisoft today because it's not going to be a huge thing. And I still saw people being like, oh, yeah, it won't be too huge, but there will be like 20 games listed or whatever. And they'll probably announce a new Nintendo collaboration. It's like, no, that's not what they're doing here.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the next question was, will there be a new Nintendo collaboration? Blessing said yes, maybe just a game ported to Switch with Nintendo skins. Emron said no, if there is a new Mario and Rabbids game, it would have been leaked already. Nano said, turns out the leakers never found this one, and neither did Ubisoft to show it off. No new Nintendo collab, and I did try to find something, anything, during the mobile game section, but nothing. Current score, Blessing 2, Imran 4.
Yep.
Next up, will there be a new Splinter Cell? Blessing said no. Imran said no. Nano's nope. Nada, zilch. Sam Fisher, I guess, remains in the wildlands or somewhere in the post-apocalyptic USA, lost to the annals of time. Current score, Blessing 3, Imran 5.
Sam Fisher was there, just not in a Splinter Cell game.
Oh, yeah, in the Elite
Squad. That mobile Tom Clancy cinematic universe game that they also showed last year, and I don't understand, is that out yet? Or I don't...
I had so many questions about things and where they're at. Like, where's Roller Champions? Is that out? Like, is that coming out? I don't know, man. Ubisoft. Speaking of things that are in the ether somewhere, does Skull and Bones make an appearance? Blessing said no. Imran said no, but there may be a CG trailer. Nano's note, while Imran also said no, he held hope. I'm dashing that hope just like Ubisoft did, and I'm giving Blessing's more cold-hearted no response to the point here. Current score, Blessing 4, Imran 5.
In my defense, and we will be talking about this after this story, there is Skull and Bones stuff to talk about. Just not a trailer.
Next one, does Gods and Monsters make an appearance? Blessing said yes with gameplay. Imran said yes, as they need to answer to the Stadia leak. They'll probably show off the whole game. Nano's note, I'm not even getting into the bonus question here because y'all were both wrong. This better make an appearance during the next CB Forward. Current score, Blessing 4, Imran 5.
Yeah, that's I'm shocked that they didn't show that.
I am too. But like again, them announcing another UB Forward kind of softens it, but still I'm like, all right. Cool. Is there a Just Dance number during the main event? Blessing says no. Imran says yes. Nano's nope. No dabs, no stanky legs, no awkward white people dancing. I'm not getting into the bonus questions since it's not applicable. Current score, Blessing 5, Imran 5. Next up, is there a new Rayman game? Blessing says yes. Imran says, Heart says yes, but my brain said no. Nano's nope, if only. But we can all agree that Imran's brain willed this out of existence. Thanks. Current score, Blessing 5, Imran 6.
I did that. I made it you not did happen. Do that. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Imran. I mean, I'm the one that like canceled every single event for this year. And so.
I mean, yeah, that is. Cool. I don't know if that's equal, but yeah.
Next one, will Rainbow Six Quarantine make an appearance? Both of us just said a flat out no. Nano's note, LOL, probably for the better, maybe during the next UB Forward. Current score, Blessing 6, Imran 7. Next question, is Roller Champions going to be out now? Blessing said no, Imran said yes. Current score, Blessing 7, Imran 7. Imran also says, man, y'all are neck and neck.
Nano said that.
Is the next Trials revealed? Blessing said no. Imran said yes, but not for next gen. Nano's note, I guess we got a new season. IDK, I saw something like that online after the fact, but that isn't a new trial. So current score, Blessing 8, Imran 7. Is For Honor 2 a thing? Both of us said no. That makes the current score, Blessing 9, Imran 8. And I guess Nano's note here is maybe during the next Ubisoft Forward, but at this point, that one is going to be jam-packed, so maybe next year.
Yeah.
Next one, a return of UbiArt games. Blessing said no return. Maybe there will be an Ubi Originals game. Imran just a flat out hope dashing no. Nano's note continues to cry in no sequel to Valiant Hearts. Imran gets the point here. There was no Ubi Originals game as well. Current score, Blessing 9, Imran 9. And I'm calling bullshit on that, Nano, because I said no UbiArt game. I said Ubi Originals, which would have been a different thing. But you're the judge, so whatever.
Pick it up with the judge. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Next one. Is there more or less than 7 minutes of Assassin's Creed Valhalla footage during the show? Blessing said there will be 6 minutes. Imran said there will be less with a clip after the show. Nano's note, I actually timed it. You both were right in some way. Blessing nailed it with there being 6 minutes of gameplay. And Imran nailed it with there being something shown after the score. Current score, Blessing 10. Blessing 10, Imran 10. And then this is the final round. Buckle up, folks. How many new games will be revealed? How many full new games will be revealed? Remember, this is Price is Right rules. I'm not counting mobile games here. Additionally, I'm counting the Far Cry leak here because we got that dope-ass trailer that was supposed to be the true reveal of the game. Blessing said there would be 4 new games shown. Imran said 3. Then Neobiology says Imran wins. Sorry, Bless, no bonus points this time around. Congrats, Imran. Kevin, come out and give Imran his prize. But
I'll pick the show back over and say we're done there.
But
there's no more to say at all.
Nanobiologist then follows Nanobiologist sent me like a whole follow-up email because he realized he fucked up. He sent me another email saying, wait, shit, I completely blanked on the Price is Right rules. So actually nobody wins. It's a tie because you both went over. Y'all need to go head-to-head in Trivia Royale video games category to decide the winner. And I'm not going to make us do that right now. Maybe that'll be a post-show thing where you decide the winner in Trivia Royale.
Also, but you can't be a Valiant Fight. The name. Otherwise, that makes no sense. So we'll have to get someone else to make one.
Wait, say that again?
I think you can't, like, make the Trivia... Oh, wait, Trivia Royale. Sorry, for some reason, I read that in my head, okay. But yes.
Yes.
Trivia Royale.
Trivia Royale, the actual mobile game. All right, we'll do that in the post show, possibly, probably.
All right.
I'm handing the keys back over. Boom.
Okay. So one of the things we did talk about there was a lack of skull and bones. Eric Van Allen at US Gamer, who is quoting a post from VGC, that Ubisoft has reportedly rebooted Skull and Bones, its long-delayed pirate game. Ubisoft's recent forward stream contains some updates about the publisher's upcoming docket of games, including Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed, and Far Cry. Conspicuously absent was Skull and Bones, the company's beleaguered pirate game, which has undergone an internal reboot, according to a new report. Anonymous sources tell VGC that last year, the decision was made to reboot Skull and Bones entirely. It has been struggling to find its own position amid Ubisoft's portfolio, and so Ubisoft Singapore is reportedly retooling it. According to VGC's report, the new Skull and Bones will shift towards a live game model, with a persistent game world where quests and characters will evolve over time based on the collective actions of players. One source familiar with the game's development reportedly tells VGC that it will have a stronger focus on collaboration, that the live storytelling elements of Fortnite have been an inspiration for Skull and Bones' revamp. So, yeah, we've been talking about how that game is just sort of, I was going to say disappeared off the face of the earth, but like it's lost in the Bermuda Triangle of just various Ubisoft games that haven't come out. So what they're saying about Skull and Bones now, Blessing, does that sound more interesting to you, or like just can it, just get rid of it?
I mean, Skull and Bones is never going to be for me because I am just not a fan of pirates. I got beef with pirates.
Things to not be a fan of. Hold on.
I know. I've honestly had this discussion with people before about my hatred towards pirates. I don't know where it comes from. There's something about pirates that just don't vibe with me.
Is there a pirate
game? They just don't sit right with me.
How did you feel about AC4 then?
I didn't play AC4. Like AC4, okay. Every time I see gameplay of it, I'm like, all right, this looks fun, but the pirate stuff doesn't necessarily. It's like that's not the stuff that's selling me on it.
He doesn't like pirates. You should drop it, right? Like it's cool.
Well, no, I want to go through like every pirate game and be like, what does Blessing feel about this?
I tried playing Sea of Thieves. So Rare, one of my favorite studios, tried playing Sea of Thieves. Got seasick after an hour.
It does make you seasick. I had to go into accessibility and like turn that down because it like legitimately I got sick playing that game the first time.
And like I don't know, man. The pirate experience just doesn't do anything for me. You know, like give me some ninjas, give me some like some astronauts. You know, no pirates. But like that said,
I like how that those are the three things that you associate together: pirates, ninjas. Astronauts.
I don't honestly like.
What about space pirates?
I can dig with some space pirates. Okay. It's the water ass pirates that got the scurvy that like, they're looking for buried treasure. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. I don't know. I don't fuck with pirates. That said, like the live storytelling elements that they reference here from Fortnite and like the way that they're describing it and what the revamp is going to be inspired by. Sounds interesting. Like I think that could be a good direction. That said, like I don't know how many people are excited about Skull and Bones in general. Like I don't know how they're gonna sell this game to people in general. Because I feel like if you want a pirate game, like why not just play Sea of Thieves? Like I feel like that game kind of has the market cornered as far as like a good pirate game. And I don't know how much interest there is for that, for Skull and Bones to also come out and occupy that space.
Yeah, it was I don't know what audience Skull and Bones wants. And the closer they start saying, like, oh, this is going to be a games as a service game, I'm like, the game I'm picturing Skull and Bones being as a games as a service game is basically just For Honor, but on water. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then what point is there to this game? And, like, that sounds cruel, but, like, people can't play that many games as service games at once. They will play at most a couple of hours of it, play with their friends, be like, okay, that was cool, and just probably drop it. That's that. They will stick to what they know, and if this game is trying to horn in a little bit on either For Honor's audience or Fortnite's audience or both, or try to capture a more casual audience for Honor, then I don't think it'll succeed there, and I think they're probably overreaching a little bit. What is notable is that at the end of 2018, we got that story that Justin Farron, who was the creative director of Skull and Bones, but it was still like a mostly narrative, just Assassin's Creed 4 without the assassin part kind of game. He left then. So the game, I'm sure, has been in a massive reboot, structure since then, of trying to figure out what makes it work. Once you get to that point with a game, if you can't find what it is people want, it's probably better to just not proceed with the project. And I'm really curious if they end up actually releasing this game, how people end up feeling about it.
Yeah. Like when you saw the first reveal trailer for Skull and Bones, did it do anything for you? Like, were you excited at all?
Not for the actual like main part of the game, but there was like a tease at the end where like a Kraken like was like oh, a Kraken is coming. We're going to have to fight that. Like, oh, that part sounds cool. Give me Monster Hunter on the water with ships, and I'll probably be pretty interested. But yeah, beyond that, like, I don't... There's nothing I've heard about Skull and Bones that makes me interested in what that game sounds like it's going to be. Especially if, like, it costs $60 as a barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
Or 70 yeah. at this point.
Yeah, and like, and that, I think that's the thing for me too, is when I saw that first launch trailer, like, aside from it being pirates and me not fucking with pirates, there was just nothing about it that really spoke to me as something unique or interesting, especially with like all the other Ubisoft games announced around it, especially with Sea of Thieves already being something that's out yeah. there, especially with, like, I know people loved Assassin's Creed 4 for the pirate stuff, and or for like the ship combat and all that stuff. Even with that brought into it, it's like, all right, if people really want that, like, they can play Assassin's Creed 4 or they can play in Assassin's Creed and probably get that out of that. Like, do people really want a game that is specifically trying to take that and form it into its own bigger thing? I don't know.
Here's what I miss. I miss Assassin's Creed multiplayer. I want them to bring that back. Like, just, I don't, release it as its own game, release it as like a standalone thing, release it as a free-to-play game. I don't care. Just bring that thing back. It was fun. And, like, it's weird they had this really good idea they've completely abandoned.
I never played Assassin's Creed multiplayer. That's like, it's like asymmetrical, right?
No, it's...
Okay.
Well, kinda. It's you and your other opponent are not doing the same thing necessarily. Like, mm-hmm. you are both hiding in crowds, sometimes with disguises or items or whatever, and you're trying to assassinate the other person. So, yeah, you are basically doing the same thing. It's just, you know, different characters and all that. Gotcha. It's really fun one-on-one. It's really fun in groups. And they gave it a good try. And it's, I guess, because it didn't take off like the next big thing. They just stopped. But I wish they could bring it back. So we alluded to this a little bit earlier, Blessing. But the Stadia Connect happened right before this.
It did.
You were part of the reaction crew for that. So I'm going to let you... I'm going to say these things to you. And you're going to give me your reaction to these bullet points.
Okay.
Okay, finally, after being announced last year at GDC, the playthrough YouTube links feature is coming to Stadia.
I this is something that they actually teased, I want to say, during that initial reveal, like the first Stadia Connect before they even launched the service. And like, back then, it struck me as exciting. The idea that you could be surfing through Google or whatever, like, you can be on your Chrome browser, maybe see an ad for a game, click that ad, and immediately within seconds be playing that game, or like be watching a YouTube video, see that it's a game that interests you, and then click it and immediately be playing that. That, to me, within that first reveal, sounded really exciting and looked like a cool function. But now that we're here, and now that they're showing off how it's gonna work, and now that like now that we actually see the library, I think that's the biggest thing, is seeing the library that's gonna be available with. It's like, all right, I guess. Like, how often am I gonna be watching a PUBG video and feel compelled to click the button to play PUBG within seconds? Probably not that often. Like, I feel like for this functionality to really matter and be exciting, Stadia is gonna have to be something that is, one, expansive in the library, like have a big enough library to where you can run into those moments where it's like, okay, yeah, no, this is like, this game looks cool. Oh, snap, it's on Stadia, and immediately like have that point of interest and want to click that thing. I think you're gonna have to have that. And then like, I think also enough people are gonna have to have Stadia to where that can happen enough. Like, I think that's the bigger thing, is that not enough people have Stadia for this to be a use case that is exciting, you know, actually exciting for a wide use of people.
So that's kind of where it falls apart for me, is not necessarily like the lack of games, but it's the lack of access to games. Because what this does is it just produces a store link, and that store link takes you to the game. Or if you already have the game, it'll take you directly to it. If this were a Game Pass style thing or a Netflix style thing of you have this game because you're on Stadia or you're like whatever, then that would make sense. Like, let's say we are watching Assassin's Creed Odyssey gameplay, and it's like, oh shit, I'd rather play this game. I should really, there's no barrier to entry for me to click this video right now and then immediately start playing this game. But the fact that the barrier to entry there is, I want to play this game. Oh, I'm on the store page. Oh, it's $60. I guess I'll play it somewhere else or just wait, because I don't really want to spend $60. Like, that's where that falls apart. And the the argument of ease of access becomes a bit more difficult when you have to have a layer of abstraction, which is the store page or whatever between you and the thing. Also, I feel like it shouldn't be, oh, I'm watching someone do something cool and it has Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Let me click this page and it's going to take me to the Assassin's Creed Odyssey title screen. What I think it should be is, I'm watching someone do a cool mission in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Let me click this video and it will take me to that mission. Like, that is what I think Stadia needs to be. And that it has the ability to do that because it's not locally saved in your hard drive. It is.
Didn't they say that was going to be a functionality? Or didn't they imply?
They implied it. I don't recall if they ever said it. I believe that was like the big thing of like, hey, whatever they're doing, you can jump in. But
yes, I remember that vividly in like the original Stadia Connect of like, yeah, you can see like a mission that your favorite YouTuber is playing and then immediately jump into that mission yourself.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that's the thing that's going to actually come to fruition though.
Because that is like, if it's not local, that is the thing you want to do with it. Or like, if you're watching someone stream and they're like, this is difficult, can somebody take over for me? That should be doable. Like, yes. Have a viewer like be able to take over this part for, like, these are all not that pie in the sky. There are places, things that technology should allow. It's I think Stadia's infrastructure is just, I don't know if they're not playing well with YouTube or whatever. Like, everything in Google is factional, but maybe
like you can do that already in some cases though, which is the thing. And like Google's infrastructure should allow that to happen even more easy. Like, you look at PlayStation and their share play, and I can jump into a friend's game and take over for them if I wanted to. And of course, like, there's some barrier to entry there. You know, if you don't have strong enough internet, it's not going to work and all these different things. Like, it's not the easiest process. Google Stadia should make that the easiest process because it's game streaming. Like, and this is me speaking as somebody who, like, I am not an engineer. I don't know technology, you know, all like as well as the people at Google do, obviously. But you'd imagine the power of game streaming, like, to pass the controller to a friend should be fairly easy.
Yeah.
Like, or at least doable within the technology that you're using.
People give me shit a lot because I'm so down on Stadia. And here's the thing. I love Stadia as a technology. I think the technology actually straight up works. And I think that's kind of where gaming is going in the future. And as a consumer argument of, you have nothing standing between you and the next Assassin's Creed game, that makes a lot of sense. As a service, as what they're actually like, the decisions they're making to create these things and release it to the public, those are bad. Those are things where they're making mistakes.
Yeah.
But let's get into the next bullet point, however, that popular series, Blessing. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm referring to, because when you say that popular series, everyone knows you're talking about Super Barber Man R.
Everybody knows you're talking about Super Barber Man R online.
I think this is solid. I think it's actually a really solid idea that our announcement was real weird.
Oh, the actual game is Super Barber Man R?
Yeah, online. The 64 Battle Royale online that you could jump in and jump out, just do whatever. That sounds very cool.
I guess.
I don't know
many people who play Super Barber Man R is the thing. Like, that, I don't know if that game was popular enough for them to now take that, add an online component, and then like announce it as like this thing that's on your platform. Like, that kind of confused, especially when they introduced it as that popular game franchise, which there are more popular game franchises in that Stadia Connect than Bomberman. I mean, that said, like, it's cool. Cool idea. Enough to maybe get into Stadia, but it's a cool idea.
For me, it lives out that dream I used to have of, like, watching Saturn Bomberman and be like, fuck, I wish I could play this with people, like, across the country or whatever. I'm not going to get Stadia for this. Like, Andy kind of touched on this in the Stadia Connect a little bit, is there's not a lot Stadia can do to get us on board, but the thought I had when seeing this is, I hope they bring this somewhere competent. I hope there's somewhere, like, this goes on another console where I want to play it. And that's sad, like, that part does feel like I'm being just kind of trashing on Stadia, but also I don't want to pay money for Stadia for one game that I want.
Well, you know? I mean, like, Andy also alluded to the fact that if they came out and they announced Elden Ring coming exclusive to Stadia, like, we'd all be bummed out about it. Like, we'd all be like, oh, what the fuck, man? Like, really? Like, Stadia's getting these big exclusives? And it's almost like that, it's the fact that they kind of, they're in a no-win situation where Super Barman R Online works as an announcement because it's not really pissing anybody off. Like, I think both me and you are probably like, oh yeah, can't wait to play this on PlayStation one day. You know, if it ever comes to PlayStation,
I will know people who will be playing that game, as opposed to Stadia. Like, it's locked into a Stadia, you know, ecosystem.
Yeah, and that's like that's the other big thing about it too. Is like, how many friends do you have that have Stadia that you're gonna play with? But yeah, like it's kind of tough for Stadia with exclusives, because one, the exclusives that they do announce are just uninteresting. Like, they had Super Bomberman R, then they also had quite a few other ones, some like cute party games, mm-hmm. and you know, one of those games looked fun, and I can't remember the name of it at this point. And like, that was an hour ago that I watched that thing.
Well, they do have exclusive games from Supermassive, Harmonix, and Splash Damage, who introduced Outcasters.
Outcasters is the one I'm thinking of. Yes, mm-hmm. Outcasters looked fun. It looked almost like it looks almost like a Fall Guys, but not a Fall Guys. Like, Fall Guys is, of course, like the, you know, battle royale party thing that you know, has you going through all these different obstacles. It looks like that, but it's a top down, like, twin stick shooter kind of deal. Looks fun, but again, like, that's not necessarily going to sell people on the idea of Stadia.
The weird thing with Stadia exclusives, and I've noticed this from like the exclusives they've announced, with the exception of like Orcs Must Die and stuff like that, is for the most part they're getting games from developers that feel like they're trying to prove a point of, no, there's no lag here. Let's get a game that is so dependent on lag, like Doom or Sekiro, which is like the next bullet point, but like a Harmonix game, which is a rhythm, most likely going to be a rhythm game, a Supermassive game, which, if we go by their previous games, it is probably going to be a QTE game. Like, they are trying to prove the point that these games work on Stadia. It's like, okay, I get it. Let the technology show that. You don't necessarily need to go out and... I say this, and I know that the alternate universe wherein they don't do this, I'd be like, they don't know what they're doing. Who's going to be like, why would they not show games that prove a point? But I don't know. I think I'm interested to see the games they make. I'm interested to see what their first-party software is. And that is, I think, where Stadia makes or breaks, is what those first-party studios are actually going to end up doing.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. When do you think we get a big Stadia announcement for a game? Like, when do you think they finally come out and they're like, this is our big first party AAA game that's going to blow your socks off?
They announced the studio foundings like a year ago, which is,
yeah,
like, that has to mean if they're working on a big AAA game, people assume AAA games are announcement to release, but honestly they're years and years ahead of that. I could see a big Stadia game taking 5 years, but I could also see pressure mounting to be like, hey, finish this up faster.
Get this out soon.
Yeah
Like,
who was it that left Sony Santa Monica to join Stadia's first-party initiative?
Oh, I know you're talking about. Hold on.
Yeah, she, like, her leaving was the thing that made me like, Google must be making a very good argument somewhere along the line. I just don't know, what that argument is quite yet. Shannon Studstill.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yeah, Shannon Studstill. And so, they also have like multiple like talented people over there. Like Jade Raymond's over there also, and like, they got a team over there that, you know, is working on shit, but fingers crossed that shit comes out is my thing. Like, yeah. I'm hoping Stadia makes it that far to where we're actually able to see those games.
Like, Google is a very capricious company. Like, Google Music is honestly one of their best apps, and I keep getting emails saying, hey, we're killing Google Music. So I'm like, fuck, I got to move on to YouTube Music, which kind of sucks ass. But, like, that's Google. They have very narrow definitions for how something should work and how successful it should be. And if you enjoy a product that's in those narrow definitions, but it's not successful enough, then you could end up real screwed very fast. Mm. So this is, speaking of you, Blessing, here's another Blessing.
Yes.
Square 65 apologize.
That's the worst transition I've ever heard in my life, Imran.
It was a bad transition.
You apologize for that? You apologize right now.
I'm sorry, but not as sorry as Swery is about the scene in Deadly Premonition 2.
Hey, you brought it all back. You killed it. That was
Swery 65 apologizes for insensitive trans scene in Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise. At Swery 65 on Twitter posted this. So he posted this yesterday. It was a tweet combined with an image of like text. And Swery 65 does not speak English well. I remember doing an interview with him where he had to bring a friend on as a translator because we didn't supply a translator for that one. But he knows a little bit of English, but not a lot. So he wrote, "Good morning, everyone. I need to tell you about my apologies about DP2. So I wrote message by myself with Google Sensei. Please forgive my poor English skills. Dear DP fans, I would like to tell important message. I realized by pointed out from friends, I might have hurt transgender people in my scenario. It wasn't intentional. I'm really sorry for that. Some scenes will be sanity checked by a team that included diversity, and I will rewrite that scene ASAP. So please continue to support Deadly Premonition. I'm the one writing the scenario, so the characters are not responsible. My fault. Please don't hate them, Sweary." So, I haven't played Deadly Premonition 2, because honestly, it runs like garbage in a way that I did not expect, but I will at some point play Deadly Premonition 2. I did, after looking at the story, go and research what those scenes are. I am not going to spoil it, because it does go into, like, some degree of the character's arc. Blessing, did you end up watching the scene I linked?
Yeah. I'd seen screenshots and I'd read tweets about what the scene was, and then I saw it linked in the doc, and so I actually went and I watched the whole scene and gave context for it. And it's a very interesting scenario, because this is actually a thing that I've been like, and it's hard to like to talk about a lot without spoiling multiple games, but this is a thing that I've been looking into quite a bit, as far as trans characters being dead named in video games and the severity of that, and how that is a very difficult thing to try and manage in a game, in storytelling in a game, and probably a better thing to just stay away from entirely. Seeing it done in this game and seeing the way in which they went about it, it's kind of unfortunate, because the way it happens in the game is it serves some narrative purpose, but I don't think it was framed in the right way, in the way that I understand how this happened if you didn't have somebody who's trans that was working on your team that was guiding this. And so I think the big thing for me here is seeing the apology and seeing the action being taken, right? Like, he says that he's going to have the scenes sanity checked by a team, and it says verbatim, like, that included diversity. That to me probably says that, yeah, he's going to have people, like a diverse group of people looking at that scene and rewriting it. And I think at this point, like, that's kind of all you can do, right? Like, you can redo the scene, you can apologize for it. And I think this kind of comes back to, we had this conversation a while ago. I think it was actually me and Fran. We're kind of talking about how there was a story about Mixer, and how a manager at Mixer was saying a bunch of insensitive things about slavery or whatever, and they were confronted about it by a black employee, and they basically just told that black employee that, actually, no, what I said was fine. Like, I looked it up online, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with what I said. And they got defensive about it, and that then made that employee feel alienated and isolated. And so much of the time, when it comes down to when you say or do stupid shit, is how you respond to it. And for me, like, this is a good response of, like, hey, I did a thing. I did not realize that I hurt people with my thing. I apologize, and I'm going to change it. And that, like, that should be the standard for when you either feel remorseful or you want to fix a thing.
It's a very good thing to establish that we tend to treat video games when they come out as sacrosanct that cannot be, like, changed, except for, like, oh, well, finally they're patching this quality of life thing, or they're patching performance or whatever. But we never talk about, like, patching scenes for being a little strange. And it's good from both a writer's perspective and a game maker's perspective, or just a creative perspective in general, to go, actually, this is an entirely creative work. Every part of it is open to reaction and feedback and whatever. It's not locked just because we say it's locked. It's locked when we say we're satisfied with how we made people feel with it.
Yeah. And I think that's also one of those things that comes with balance, because I don't want to live in a world where game stories are decided by audience reaction and people getting angry about not liking an ending, or people not liking a story decision, and all this different stuff. In a case like this, though, I think, like, this totally works. Like, I think this is actually a really cool thing that you can do, is you can go back, learn that you did something like bad or offensive in a story that you didn't mean to do, and then go back and change it after the fact. Like, that is something that is unique to video games in a lot of ways. And, like, yeah, like, I'm totally down for this. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I definitely think Sweary's heart is in the right place. And, like, the problem, so he wrote before this game, The Missing with J.J. Macfield. Like, it's a actually very good game that touches on some trans issues that are done shockingly well. Before that, he wrote Deadly Premonition 1, which has some real problematic trans stuff. So it seems like he knows where the issues are and wants to fix them. It's just, without the cultural awareness, it's very difficult. And, like, cultural awareness does not necessarily mean he's Japanese and that's it. Like, he just isn't used to this. It means you can live your entire life and probably not have trans friends, and that's, like, not shocking that that happened. But if that's the case and you want to make a story about it, then you have to do it in a way that is sensitive to the way it actually works in real life. And
yeah,
I'm glad he's looking at that and going, okay, yeah, now I get it. Now I want to do a better job for my fans who do take offense to something like this. Because it's not just the one scene I showed. It's not just the single dead name. Right before that scene, York does a very good speech that's like, it doesn't matter who someone is, they're all people. And those, like, it's basically York says trans rights. And then it does the dead name, and that's like, that's not good. Then it does, like, oh, this is actually a heartfelt scene. And then it does something real bad after that. And
oh,
I get where they're going with it, but there's a larger conversation to be had about, like, if you're going to put a trans person in the game, they don't need to just be, I think the term people use is trans tribulations. They should not be in the game just because their life is hard or because they've done something awful. There should just be trans characters that are just characters.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to the idea of, like, there's a certain default people have in mind for what a person should be. And we should get away from that and start normalizing the fact that there are all kinds of people in the world and they can just be normal people too. They don't need to be, like, pivotally. I don't want to get into it without spoiling that, so I'm not going to. But they don't need to be that extreme.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from.
So I'm yearning for that world blessing, and hopefully that is not far away. But if I wanted to know what's coming to the mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
I was waiting so hard. I wanted to see how you were going to pivot this one, and you nailed it. You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, fuck you, Kevin. That's great. All right, out today. A variety of bounty hunter bonuses and rewards are available for both new and veteran hired guns this week in Red Dead Online, along with Liz discounts and more. Void TRRLM // Void Terrarium is out on PS4 and Switch.
Death Which Stranding. Game do you think that is?
I Void Terrarium. I bet it's a puzzle game.
It's a visual novel. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, go for it. Death Stranding is on a PC. Neon Abyss is out on PC, or PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Kingdom Majestic is out on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town is on Switch and PC. I think it's the Harvest Moon remake. Rocket Arena is out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. That was that EA game that used to be published by... I played it last year on Judges Week, and, like, it was a Nexon thing. And I don't know how it ended up from going from Nexon to EA, but I'm curious. Pangeon is out on Switch. Reforged TD is out on PC. Ultimate Truco is out on PC. Modest Hero is out on PC. And Date Island is out on PC. Okay, looks like Kevin has the...
Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin, can you look this up? Because this game actually looks dope as fuck. I'm not going to lie. This is way Terraria.
Because, like, this trailer's not giving us anything.
Look up gameplay. Because I was looking through screenshots, and I'm going to be honest, I looked at four different screenshots of actual gameplay. Could not tell what kind of game it was.
You're stuck in an Xbox Series X.
You're just going through all the different the chips and all the different things.
All the load screens, all the splash screens through the Xbox history.
So, like, for audio listeners, right? Like, it looks, oh man, it's like a cartoony, like, anime-ish styled thing. Lots of green, and then, like, now we're looking at that top-down action gameplay with, like, numbers popping out of characters. They're leveling up. There's upgrades you can add. Now
what
we're looking at it, like,
coming
a
out of
scene.
Her face.
This looks like a Nibonichi game they, like, don't really talk about.
Like, there's, like, a crystal coming out of her eyeball.
This is actually the spinoff to Metal Gear Solid 5.
God, fuck. I played a good Snake, so I never got that. But I think you have to get it at some point in the end.
Wait, you can play a good Snake?
I mean, you can not kill, which is what I did.
Killing is what adds to the horn?
Mm-hmm.
Did I know this? Did I just forget this?
You probably forgot it. But
yeah,
I
forgot that.
It's basically a moral bar.
Pretty cool. Yeah, Void Terrarium looks interesting.
That does look interesting. New dates. This is for new release dates. The Battle of Polytopia, Moonrise, will make its long-awaited arrival on PC, Mac OS X, and Linux on August 4th, 2020. Pop-Up Dungeon will launch on PC on August 12th. Deal of the day, there is a Capcom and Ubisoft sale on Xbox Live. For example, DMC 5 is $20, RE7 is $10, HD Origins and Odyssey are $25 together. Far Cry 5 is
$9. $9. And Imran, now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, your support means the world to Kind of Funny. Because of you, the audience, Kind of Funny is able to do things like launch a new studio, have full Last of Us Part 2 playthroughs with Andy Cortez, have awesome guest weeks on Kind of Funny Games Daily, launch shows like the return of PS I Love You XOXO, and more. You can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to support Kind of Funny Games Daily and all the content we produce on this side of Kind of Funny. And you get special perks like exclusive content, becoming a Patreon producer, and more. Once again, just go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to support the show and learn more about what we have to offer.
All right, so reader questions. Let's pick a... Do you want to talk about Most Improved Studio or do you want to talk about Game Docs?
Most Improved Studio.
Okay. Hot Dub Time Boat wrote in, "Hey guys, as a generation draws to a close, we get the chance to look back on the last few years as a defined era of gaming. If you had to give an award for Most Improved Studio, who would you give it to? Who came with a little buzz at the start of this gen, but by the end of it, you consider them top tier? And what about the opposite? Who came in a top tier studio at the start of generation, but as they move on to the PS5, Xbox Series X era, you no longer consider as hot? Peace and love. Ooh. Keep up the good work. Hot Dub Time Boat."
This is like one of those hot take questions.
I'm not gonna say they're low or they're small, but Capcom started this generation with like 10 million cash on hand, and they made an explicit thing of our future is only going to be remasters and going back to old things and stuff like that. They were not intending to be a big studio this gen, and yet we're finishing it with like their best-selling game came from the generation. It was Monster Hunter World. RE7, RE8 look amazing. Like RE2, RE3. Granted, they didn't do a new IP this generation, which is disappointing. But they started generation real low and came up pretty high.
I can see that. Yeah. Man. You know what, man? I'm gonna say Sucker Punch. Like Sucker Punch. I think for me the growth from Infamous Second Son up to Ghost of Tsushima, I think is really cool. Like, I think that's really awesome to see. And honestly, like, I guess I would say side by side with that also, Guerrilla, you know, like from Killzone Shadowfall to Horizon Zero Dawn, I think that's like a great area of growth there. Like both of those studios, I feel like really found a flow this generation and became something way better than they were at the start.
Yeah, and then like somebody who'd like started
the other way around. Fell.
Blizzard?
I feel like it's happened recently. Well, Blizzard. Did Blizzard ever fall though? Like,
I mean, the
game Warcraft, quality wise,
Warcraft 3 was pretty bad.
Oh yeah, people were not happy about Warcraft.
Diablo was obviously an announcement they didn't like. I think I see people show some consternation about Overwatch 2, but I have like honestly no strong feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got nothing.
One that comes to mind, but I don't feel like it's a good... This isn't necessarily a good answer, but I'm going to say Rockstar. Not because Rockstar games got worse, but because I feel like they kind of just got uninteresting over time. Like, mm-hmm. And granted, we only had GTA 5 and Red Dead 2 to like judge from, but I feel like Red Dead 2 came out and kind of made people tired of Rockstar games in a way that
I think once GTA comes out, people are gonna go crazy for that game. But like
for sure,
I will say that, like, the old Rockstar that was, like, releasing games that weren't the biggest games in the world is more or less gone, and that's disappointing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no Bully equivalent generation. There's no Rockstar Table Tennis. Like, they've been slowly lowering their portfolio over the years, and it's been like, okay, well, this generation, it was Red Dead 2, and that's it? Like, GTA Online obviously takes up their time.
For sure, yeah. And, like, that's not... And it's hard to really even relegate to that to just this generation, because they've only had one game come out this generation. But I think Rockstar. More so with Rockstar, it is like, the fact that their games now have a formula in a way that it's hard to get excited about. Like, I kind of know what a Rockstar game at this point is, and I would like to see something more fresh and lively and new come out of Rockstar. But at the same time, like, money speaks.
In that same vein, I think the overall quality of Ubisoft games has gone up this gen, but the diversity of their portfolio has gone down.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
I agree.
They used to have a lot of different shit, and now it's a lot less of different shit. Now it's like, I bring this, this is a kind of like joking example, but it is true. Every fucking game has a drone or a hawk that acts as a drone. Every single one. And it's like, okay, I get it. You think this is a good idea for, like, expanding the camera, but, like, think of a different idea. Think of something, another equivalent.
Also, shout out to Nintendo. I feel like the Wii U to Nintendo Switch glow up was really fantastic, especially with their biggest franchises. And so, like, the jump from Skyward Sword to Breath of the Wild is enormous, like, given that I did not like Skyward Sword, and Breath of the Wild is, like, my favorite game of all time. You know, Mario Odyssey from... and. Like, Mario Galaxy 2 is incredible, and, like, Mario 3D World is also really great, but I want to say that jump also is really good, and, like, for the most part, so many of their big franchises this gen are step-ups from where they were last gen.
They've never made bad games, but they're making games now that are, I feel better than their last iteration.
Yes.
Which is 100%. Fantastic. All right, now it's time to squad up. Jasek, J-A-S-E-K, is out on, or not out, is asking for help on Halo 3 on PC. He says, Halo 3 is finally on PC, and I need best friends to help finish the fight. His name, which I'm going to guess is an Xbox Live Gamer tag. He did not clarify. But if it's either an Xbox Live Gamer tag or a Steam tag, it is KingCrimson417, exactly how it sounds, all one word, KingCrimson417. Now it's time for You're Wrong, which I just realized I have the GameCast You're Wrong up and not the actual You're Wrong I need. So Blessing, look that over for me.
Yeah, no, I got it. Nanobah just says, Blessing said Skyward Sword was a Wii U game, but it was originally released as a Wii game. And I think that's actually a good point.
Wii U did not have its own Zelda. It had
Wii U didn't have it had like re-releases of Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, but not an exclusive one.
Yeah, I would like Wind Waker on Switch, by the way. That had nothing to do with this, but I'm making it known. Put Wind Waker on Switch.
Play-Doh Man says, from yesterday, the U.S. pricing for Lego NES will be $200. And I saw that they actually officially announced it, which is really cool. Nailbot just says, Tom Clancy's Elite Squad is available for pre-registration and not out yet.
So yeah, it's been like, they announced it a year ago, and it's still not out. The Clancy Smash Brothers. Tom Clancy Brothers.
Nanobiologist also says Stadia originally advertised YouTuber and streamers posting save links that gave anyone the exact save of the streamer where they were at to play the same mission. And so I guess we're still waiting on that.
Yeah. I mean, the controller's not out of beta yet. Like, we still can't ask it questions.
Nanobiologist also says Super Bomberman R sold 1 million units as of August 2018. Fun fact, it was celebrated with a person in a Bomberman costume doing a bungee jump. And I will say that literally everything that was on the Switch that early on sold a lot.
Yes. Like, it did well. And it was a fine game. It wasn't, like, amazing. But it was, like, if you bought it at launch and you wanted something to play besides Breath of the Wild, it was fine. I thought it was hilarious that the PS4 and Xbox 360 versions got, who was it? It was Ratchet and Halo, or Master Chief, respectively. And then they went and patched a character back in the Nintendo version, but it wasn't a Nintendo character. It was like a Bomberman Game Boy character. It was real strange. Should have been Wario.
Nanobiologist says, missed out today. Halo 3 is out on PC via Steam and the Master Chief Collection. And then Nailbodges also says Warcraft 3 Reforged was a partner effort between Blizzard and Lemon Sky, the studio who made the god awful 3D models. It wasn't just Blizzard. So that's not you're wrong, but some added context.
Yeah.
And that's still
like
for
Blizzard
wrong.
Signed off on that game. Like that is down on them if whether they developed it or not.
100%.
All right. Blessing, let's get into tomorrow's host because I don't want you to spoil a surprise, but I want you to know, and I want you to tell me after we're off air. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is Greg and a special guest.
Yes. And so like, yeah, I think was it yesterday, earlier this week? Today's Tuesday, right? God, what a... Oh, you know what? It's because we worked on Sunday. For some reason, I was like, why does it feel like the end of the week? It's because it's been a long week. Yesterday, I said that tomorrow is going to be Greg and question marks because we're looking for somebody to I think, fill in for Gary Wooda. Turns out that's not the case. Turns out tomorrow is Greg and question marks because we got a special guest. Who is it? Even I don't know.
You don't know? I was going to ask you.
I have no idea. Legit. And so stay tuned for that. Get excited. I think I actually do have an idea on who it might be because we have some exciting things about to happen.
We got
to
exchange notes because I have no fucking clue.
Oh, dude. Wait till I tell you about this. But yeah, Wednesday is going to be Greg and a special guest. Thursday is going to be Greg and me. And then Friday is going to be me and Greg.
And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. We got a Patreon post show for those of you who are subbed at silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Stick around for that. Until then, next time, Kind of Funny Games Daily.